Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, Nate Langson.
And me, your pal, Ian Morris.
He is my pal. He's one of my dearest of all pals.
I'm not your pal, buddy.
I'm not your buddy, friend.
Classic.
I did get a giggle out of the most recent South Park.
They're in a bitter legal argument at the moment.
Well, what else is new? But
well, they sold the rights of it to HBO, but Paramount Plus then started making movies, which aren't part of the deal, and HBO is very angry. There's a whole lawsuit.
Oh, that's not what I was referring to. I was referring to that they massively poked fun at Harry and Meghan.
I don't keep up with it, but I do enjoy it when I see it.
I mean, it's one of the if you like Harry and Meghan, don't watch that episode. Give it a miss.
I can still take a joke, but I do like Harry and Meghan as it goes.
I get the impression that they did not find it very funny.
But they sort of, well, oh, them. Well, why would they? It's about them. I mean, yeah. South Park does do a pretty good job of mocking everyone.
Exactly. Is my opinion too. They could mock me because I enjoy how they mock everyone else. Anyway, we're going to start by talking about Signal, because Ars Technica wrote this week that the non-profit, which is sort of in charge of the Signal app, the messaging app Signal, is prepared to exit the UK if our government moves forward and requires encrypted communications to have essentially back doors or some form of weakening of the encryption as a way of ensuring that messages are free of material that may be harmful to children. This is, I'm afraid to say, and I apologize in advance, we have to at least reference the online safety bill.
Something,
I know, it's something of a cold sore of good intentions left over by the government's face, thanks to years of being kissed by Boris Johnson. Anyway, it's still working its way through Parliament. It essentially means that pretty much any company that lets the public create and share stuff between themselves also has to be able to block child sexual abuse material. And they have to make sure that grown-up content also that's legal, that is, can't also be accessed by kids. And that's the good intentions bit. You know, there'll be no one that disagrees with that, certainly not on this show anyway. But the cold sore bit that I was referred to is the process of doing this, because apps like Signal are end-to-end encrypted. We know that. It's not possible for them to see the content of messages being sent across it, and therefore they can't detect or block anything, whether that's legal stuff or illegal stuff. And thus, if they moved forward with this bill and there were no changes to Signal, then Signal would theoretically, in principle, as we currently understand it, be in breach of a future law if it ever materializes. There's a quote here that the CEO of Signal, Meredith Whittaker, gave to Ars Technica. We would absolutely exit any country if the choice were between remaining in the country and undermining the strict privacy promises that we make to the people who rely on us. The UK is no exception. End quote. Now, we could go down a rabbit hole here and talk about the online safety bill. We won't, because we've done it before, and it's largely tedious, and it keeps getting delayed and changed, and we'll do it when it actually becomes, you know, a formal proposal again or something. But instead, I'm interested, Ian, in how you think it would actually even be possible for Signal to even leave the UK. I mean, presumably they just pull out of the App Store here, but that's not always enough.
Well, they could also take away the UK number authorization, so it would be impossible to sign up.
Oh.
With a UK number. So it could actually work from their perspective. Like, we could be looking at a complete loss of it, because it's still tied to a phone number, isn't it? I believe. Yeah. I don't think there's any other option. It's not like Telegram, where you can sign up with like an email address. I mean, we wouldn't use Telegram because it's not secure. But
no.
yeah, it's I think it's a real threat, and I think it's a legitimate one. And WhatsApp, to their credit, for a company owned by Meta, has been as robust about it. You know, they've said that that they would not tolerate any attempts to undermine safety and encryption. So I could see it happening. I really could. And I think it would be a terrible shame if it was the UK. I mean, we're starting to make ourselves look a bit stupid over this, really. Because, as you said, the trick that they use with it is always to say, but think of the children. We all know the Simpsons thing.
Won't somebody think of the children?
Yeah. Was that Miss Jenkins back there for a cameo?
Oh, no, it wasn't her again, sorry.
You know, by saying this is about children's safety, they sort of shut down any sort of argument about it, which is a fundamentally dishonest way to go about having a decent conversation about encryption. I find myself once again furious by it, but absolutely completely running out of energy with which to talk about it, because we've had this conversation over and over again, and the fact is that the government needs encryption to be secure as much as anyone. We all know that they have their own conversations on these apps that they would be loath to make public. And we all deserve the right to encryption. And I accept that that comes with some downsides. But we have to find another way around it. We can't just suddenly decide that we're not going to support encryption without a back door, because it would just let any old person in. Theoretically, I mean, nothing's secure, right?
Let's move forwards, because it's interesting you point out Meta's stance. And if I take what Meta says about WhatsApp at its as its word, which I generally don't, but let's, for argument's sake, say that they would never weaken that encryption. They would never do it.
Yeah.
Then how could WhatsApp stay in the UK any more easily than Signal?
No, they couldn't.
And in which case, really, they're going to pull WhatsApp from the UK? Like,
yep.
I mean, the government uses WhatsApp for one thing, so nothing hurts more than when a decision you make affects yourselves. You know, that's one of the problems with government. And not just our government, any government. You can't be as in touch with all people. As well as people who look like or seem like you. So you would have a difficult time trying to pass this if WhatsApp as well as Signal and everyone else is going to say we're going to leave. And so maybe we kind of need them all to say we're going to leave.
I think that will help. the UK is just not a big enough market. It's not going to hurt Facebook's Meta's numbers or Signal's numbers significantly. It's 60 million people. We can't keep thinking of ourselves like this sort of, you know, superpower. We just simply don't have the numbers to back it up. And I think if the government, it would be good for Signal, because if the American government started saying things like this, they'd have a real problem. But if the British government says it and acts on it, and they pull out, and these messaging apps pull out of the UK, it will send a quite clear message to people that actually they're not prepared to compromise on security, and actually we're going to have to just manage with something that isn't secure.
But it will also create an opportunity for a new player, because if the likes of WhatsApp,
that's someone that doesn't care, yeah, sure,
then you get something else, and we have that something else. It's called SMS. You know.
Yes, although that's woefully insecure. But you know,
That's my point. Is that there is an alternative that if you don't care about security,
yes, or functionality for that matter. You know, it's not just about security. Security isn't the reason that WhatsApp became huge. It's the convenience, the fluidity of the interface, the way it's built. I'm not one to say nice things about Meta products, but I know you don't use it, but I would struggle to say anything bad about WhatsApp.
No,
it is functionally excellent.
When I left WhatsApp, it wasn't to do with the app being bad.
No, of course. The app
is absolutely brilliant. I've never had a problem with the functionality.
Yeah,
it's the principles behind
it. It's the principle of Meta being an absolute shambles and getting worse, because they're also saying that they're now going to move their data for the UK outside of the EU. They're taking it back to America.
Well, so, I believe the effect is it's it's the agreement that covers the data, not necessarily the data itself.
Well,
it's,
sure, but
because we are not subject to GDPR anymore, which means
are, because it was it not word for word moved into UK law.
But it's not GDPR, and we have our own spin on things, and we conform to it. But it's the same.
But isn't we're it? Not.
I don't believe it's exactly the same.
Okay.
I think elements.
I'm not going to read it.
Are different.
Or more specifically, I'm not going to read it and compare it to the EU's GDPR law. But anyway, but that's a sort of beside the point. I do believe it could happen. I do believe that they would pull out, and I think we would deserve it. And I think perhaps the sort of psychopathic part of me wants them to do it so that we can see what this sort of stupidity results in.
I don't, because I've seen that play out before and it ends up not being very fun. But but I would push back on the argument that the UK is too small to have any impact, because if you look at the problems, and this is verging slightly into Bloomberg territory, but if you look at the problem that Microsoft is having getting the Activision Blizzard deal through, a big part of that issue is that the UK regulator. Like, yep. we're not currently allowing it, and it's one of the last stumbling blocks the company has to get over in order for that deal to go through.
I'll tell you what, I had an absolute riot of a time on Reddit talking, you know, reading the arguments, because people so quickly fall into line behind corporations. It makes me laugh. And I think, in actual fact, the UK's stance on that takeover is quite reasonable, because they're not saying that Microsoft can't own another game studio. They're saying that Microsoft owns too much of the cloud gaming environment, and that this move would take them to something like 70% ownership or something. Now, that's not Microsoft's fault entirely. The fact that Sony hasn't been able to get its gear together and do a decent cloud platform isn't anyone's fault but Sony's. But at the same time, I totally take the point, and I think that's an example of using the power for good. That said, the Federal Trade Commission in the US is also still suing Microsoft over this. So it isn't, by any stretch of the imagination, just a British thing. It is still something that's being talked about in America as being a problem as well. I'm sure they will get it. They've already publicly said they've signed up for 10 years with Nintendo to provide Call of Duty to those people who think that's entertaining somehow.
They did said
the same to Sony.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But that's not really the point. And that's also my point, is that that's not what they're trying to say. The government is saying, actually, your cloud gaming strategy is a problem for us. But I don't think it would. You're right. I don't think Microsoft would risk damaging its sales of Xbox in the UK, because I suspect it is quite a big market. But it does pale into insignificance when compared to both the EU and America.
It does, but the point is about the UK's ability to force change.
Yes.
And I don't think it is accurate to say that the UK as a market is purely also based on population size, because that's not the best measure. You know, we are better off looking at GDP and exports and where the talent comes from and so on and so forth. And that's not to say that we're massive. But I think that there is a lot to be said for just the number of employees and jobs and other technologies that rely on these sorts of companies having an investment here. And if they just decide, you know what, you're doing something so reprehensibly awful that we're not even going to bother being here, that's difficult.
So what is the percentage chance, do you reckon? Let's say the government did pass this law as it stands now. What do you think the percentage chances of WhatsApp and Signal doing what they've said and pulling out?
I just don't think the law will pass.
No, I don't either.
I just don't think it would, because if it was going to, it would have done so already.
It's a shambles of a law. The whole thing is a disgrace.
Think what you want about it, but it's very clear that it won't do what they want it to do.
No.
And you can technically pass laws in days, you know. Most aren't. Most take a very long time, but it is technically possible. This is something that is—it's now this weird chimera of a thing that's passed through multiple leaders, and it almost it kind of needs scrapping and restarting, and the problem is always
it needs to be more than one law, for one thing. It needs to be it's too broad in what it's trying to achieve. Break it down to, you know, what are we going to do about the problem of child exploitation, and that, you know, and do that as one thing and say, right, you know, what do we want to do with encryption? Well, we can't stop it, so let's not pretend we can. And, you know, what are the rules that we can make that will make sure that it's impossible for people, or more difficult for people, to share that kind of content? I don't have any answers. I'm not saying that they're not trying hard to come up with a really good solution, because I don't think it's malicious. I just think it's slightly technologically ignorant. But I'm also sure they've got techies working with them. So yeah. I don't really know how it's got this far. Well, I think this much of a mess.
But I think that is part of the problem. They've got techies working for them, and that's how it got this far in not having made it into being an actual law. Because there are people who are saying this is not going to work, look at these examples. So it goes back and forth and back and forth, and amendments made and arguments for and against, and it's difficult, and it's not even a battle of wills so much as it is just fundamentally flawed from the ground up, and it's difficult. But we'll see. I think Signal threatening it isn't going to change anything, but if Signal threatening it
and WhatsApp do,
yeah, if Signal threatening it acts as something of a beacon, because this is something that they all share from a competitive standpoint, enemy of my enemy being my friend, Signal and the like, and Apple's iMessage, or get, again, end-to-end encrypted, and Apple's had its own attempt at trying to do something to combat CSAM on phones by moving
it was a good effort, really, actually, when you think about it, and was universally hated. But in my opinion, I get why people are upset about it, but that's the kind of solution I'm talking about. The kind of thing where someone has come up with a way of handling that without reducing people's right to encryption, and there was widespread disdain. But I get that as well, because who wants their phone scanning all their photos and comparing them with the database? But what do you do? Anyway.
Well, you are someone that likes having their phone scanned and compared to a database, then let us know why. What's the matter with you? Let us know. hello@uktechshow.com. Any suggestions on how this could move forward would be interesting. Do you think Signal's just bluffing? Who knows? Maybe you do. Let us know.
Let us know,
England and Scotland and Wales and the rest of the world and Ireland, Northern and Republic. Basically anyone.
Robots will do 39% of our domestic chores by 2033, say experts. Today, I'm bringing you an article I don't really agree with about robots taking over 39% of domestic chores. That's something that we've been promised for some time, actually, from clunky and hilarious automatons of the 60s and 70s through to modern robot vacuum cleaners that are great for Nate's single floor home, but absolutely atrocious for my stupid three floors. Experts from the Japan and the UK were asked if they thought robots could take over duties in the home, and 65 of them were polled in total, with a mix of opinions, as you could expect. But they did say that they thought that technology could help cuts by 60% the time we spend grocery shopping, apparently, although it's not entirely clear why or how. Other chores included walking the dog, which isn't a chore, or taking the kids to school, which also isn't a chore, and I would never trust a robot to do it. Nate, I think what I wanted to ask you about was, what are the jobs that you would like a robot to do, and do you think there's any chance of that happening by 2033?
Well, I definitely wouldn't let any machine walk my dog, because I barely let any humans walk it, even professional dog walkers. I suggested this as recently as last night, because I have to go overseas filming for a few weeks, and we were talking about potential ways of covering that doesn't entirely rely on my mother-in-law, who is an absolute godsend for helping in this instance. And even a professional dog walker, we're not completely confident with. I've seen dogs walked by drones before, and I think that can be quite an interesting approach to it. But I honestly believe that my dog would rip a drone out of the sky.
I think I agree, knowing your dog. Yeah. Your dog's virtually ripped me out of the sky. I mean, he's not the sky.
No,
he's certainly... nearly ripped off my nose.
He's a powerful force of nature.
He's an adorable little fella. He's very excited by me for some reason. Perhaps because I was the third person to meet him?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of you to lick, you see.
There is a lot of you to lick.
Sorry, yeah. That came out wrong. I don't mean because of your size. I just mean that you have a lot of hair and a beard, and yeah. There's just lots of different bits of you, whereas some people are boring and shave and have a haircut, and so this is just not even any better, is it? My point wasn't.
And some people are clean and they don't smell. Yeah,
wasn't to insult. I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do, of course, though. What you mean?
You're an adventure for the nose and the mouth.
I am that.
For a dog. Anyway, moving on. Sorry about that. I think it's you mentioned the 60s and 70s. I mean, as you know, I'm doing this TV show, not to plug it again, but get used to it, because I'm going to plug it a lot over the next few months.
I don't think we'd expect any different, to be fair. You've got to promote your own work, for crying out loud.
And so one of the things I've been doing is looking back at a lot of the predictions and expectations of futurists and computer scientists and things, because computer vision and so forth goes back to the 1960s. And some of the suggestions, I mean, firstly, they don't talk about it back then as taking over jobs for people. They specifically talk about taking over jobs for the woman of the house. It is entirely like, don't worry, women, the robot will do your household chores now, and men can come home and you will have done something different to support the man. Fortunately, we've moved past that, but I don't think we've moved much further in terms of like having humanoid-like robots walking up and down our stairs, taking our kids to work. We've got robot vacuum cleaners that, threaten a poo apocalypse every time it collides with a dog turd.
Yeah.
I've heard that's a thing.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not sure where, but I heard it as recently as this week somewhere. But anyway.
It happens. I mean, if a dog does a poo and a robot vacuum cleaner tries to clean it up, it's not going to go well.
No, I mean, the shit hits the fan, sort of.
But basically.
Yeah. But it's the subtleties. And it's this is the thing. It's also, how do you define a robot? Because when we've been putting this program together, I've been quite insistent that we keep robots largely out of the conversation when talking about AI, because they are complementary things, but they are radically different things. And when we think about robots, we often, the first thought is, a mechanical thing on legs or wheels in some form that trundles around and resembles us. Whereas actually, I think of robots more like, some sort of automated blender or vacuum cleaner or something like that. And in that sense, and if you think of it like that, I can see 2033 as being, helped more like that. But I think we have to change our definition of what we expect a robot to be rather than, I think you know what I'm saying, rather than what
well,
we
I do. And,
think
and let me
do.
Let me read you something that was in the story. This is Dr. Kate Devlin, an AI and society reader at King's College London, wasn't involved in the study, but said that it's difficult and expensive to make a robot that can do multiple general tasks. Instead, it's easier and more useful to create assistive technology that helps rather than replaces us, she said.
Yes.
Which I think is absolutely spot on, because I think, and I'm reminded of something I thought about a great many years ago when I was sort of doing some file management on my computer. I thought, why do we not have computers that can see when you're doing a repetitive task and offer you automation to complete it? So, let's say you're doing the same thing over and over. So you've got a bunch of folders and they've all got, let's say, TV episodes in, and you're moving them into another folder somewhere else with the same name, but you're putting them all together or something. And there's a pattern, and an AI could spot that pattern and go, hey, it looks like you're, Clippy pops up and goes, hey, it looks like you're putting a bunch of files on a different drive in a more organized fashion. Can I help you finish that? And I think it's those things that could be dramatic. I'm thinking about people at work who have to do repetitive tasks in Excel, like tracking sales figures or something like that. AI could be a huge, you tell it what you want it to do. And I've done, we've all used ChatGPT, and I've done some of that. I've set, rather than looking up what, say, 380,000 kilometers is in stacked up buses or something like that, I could ask AI to do that for me, which is a time saving thing. So I think you know, the idea of a robot stamping around the house is a nice one, but probably not practical, at least even just from a financial point of view.
Yes, I agree.
Which
with
I think
you.
Is the biggest problem, really. It's you know, I think there are robots that already exist that could probably be trained to do ironing, and put washing in the machine and cook you dinner. Like, I think that those Boston Dynamics robots could probably do that job. You know, you'd probably have to have someone come over and program it for your house and stuff like that. But the cost is just not realistic for most people.
I think you're absolutely right, and there are trickle down economics involved. But by 2033. Will they have trickled down to the point that the average person in the street can afford the equivalent of a Boston Dynamics dog to walk the dog? No. Also, I wouldn't trust
dog
that dog to walk the dog.
No.
I wouldn't trust that dog to walk the dog. It would crush Bruce.
Yeah, and that's true.
That would be disheartening.
It would be greatly disheartening. And that I think that is part of the point as well. Like, you're talking about... Like, you're asking people to trust things, and we're not even talking about the idea of AI going insane and taking over the world. You know, we're talking about a machine that is extraordinarily powerful but doesn't necessarily act like it, and, you know, the damage that could do just by accident, or by you doing something stupid. You know, that these are not simple problems to overcome. But again, you know, I can think of plenty of things that I would like to be smarter, and AI may well be a gateway for that. For example, could my oven recognize the kind of sausages I've put in and cook them perfectly for me? And, you know, could it help me set up a whole menu and sort of remind me of things? You know, these are all things that are perfectly doable and certainly could be time savers. And I suspect that could help with the shopping as well. You know, oh, you've run out of sausages, Ian. You don't want to run out of sausages. I've ordered you more sausages.
Ian, can I just ask, are you hungry
yes.
right now?
No, but I did have sausages for lunch.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh.
In case that wasn't... I've got sausages on the brain, my friend.
Apparently, well, that's not where you want them.
No, you want them in your tummy, really.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. What brand of sigh do you go for?
I think they were just Waitrose sausages today, but they were wrapped in bacon.
Oh.
I've been nice. A very naughty boy, is what I'm trying to say.
You have.
Naughty, Ian.
Well... Did this just get slightly homoerotic? I'm not sure.
We're talking about sausages and naughtiness. And
being
I guess.
A naughty little naughty boy, yeah.
It's
well,
difficult to resist, really, isn't it?
We're still doing it, aren't we? Let's move on. I am interested in garden robots because gardening is something of a challenge for people short of time. To stay on top of, I'm thinking possibly of my wife because she adores the garden. And yes. sometimes the sheer volume of work that needs doing in it is off-putting, even though the doing of it is actually very enjoyable. And I think when we look at things like sprinklers and hose pipes and garden lawnmowers and de-weeding, yeah. like there's an awful lot where you don't need it to be quite as finessed in its execution as in... You don't, you know, if you have a robot in the house, there's every chance that it'll knock something very expensive over. In the garden, yes, it might cut down one of your buddleias, or it might run over a rhododendron or something. But you'd like to think that the worst it could do is kill something that, in the grand scheme of things, is less important than, you know, has it let your dog run in front of a car, which I honestly believe a robot would allow Bruce to do because sometimes we almost allow him to do it.
Well, if you think about it as well, like if a robot has to make a decision, like is it going to cause more damage to people if it walks in front of a car and that car has an accident and the people in the car die? And is that offset against the life of a dog? I mean, unfortunately, the answer is going to be you have to preserve human life. Whereas a person, you know, might make different decisions that prevent anyone from dying.
Yeah, exactly. It's the moral dilemma again, but it's not going to happen in my garden, fortunately. My garden poses very little risk to human or animal life.
And you know, you can already get like AI sprinklers that measure the water level in the soil and come on when they need to, rather than just coming on automatically at 4 o'clock every day or whatever.
But even then, I'd still argue that the role of detecting moisture isn't that essential, because gardening and agriculture in general is a lot of it's guesswork and a lot of it's just instinct almost from years of practice. And you could probably just say, well, it's really warm out, so probably put the sprinkler on, or it's been dry for a bit, so put some sprinklers on, or it's been raining, don't bother. Like, you don't need to test the soil for the exact level of moisture in order to make that decision, and that would bring the cost down. And as you say, these things do kind of exist, but I like the idea of robots in a garden. I think it's, I honestly think garden tech is vastly under promoted and probably under researched, mainly because we don't have as many gardens as we do front rooms, but still I think it's an exciting area. And there are some good robot what do they call them, lawnmowers. I've seen them out in parks as well, one in Edinburgh in particular, that there's a very steep hill of grass, and I've seen robot lawnmowers going up and down that, and I'm like, that's good, that's useful, that's yes, exactly what it should be doing.
Really, John, in the chat mentioned the Apple TV series Hello Tomorrow, which I've been watching. It's something called retrofuturism. So it's basically tech from the 60s, you know, the 60s aesthetics. Exactly. And it's, you know, hovering bartenders and automated robot deliveries and stuff like that. And obviously there are consequences to that. But it's a good show. People should watch it. It's fun. It's not necessarily what you think it's going to be, but it is a nice show.
I'm interested in that, actually. It's a good reminder to watch it. Is the whole series out, or is it just...
Not yet. Yes, only the first four have been out so far. I do like the fact that Apple seems to do like three initially, or at least it has done with that. So you don't have to sort of wait weeks and weeks. I mean, it's very frustrating. I get the need for it, but also it seems to have sort of flown a bit under the radar, this show. I don't feel like it's been as hyped as others.
I think that's been the case for a few Apple originals. Like, there are some that are really, they've been, so to me, they feel like they've been sleeper hits. I mean, Severance was a bit of a breakout, not like Ted Lasso, but also what was the one I watched? It's one of my favorites.
For All Mankind?
No, although I did enjoy that.
Yes, no, it was very good.
The one about the alien invasion.
Oh, was it called Invasion by any chance?
Yeah. Very good.
I haven't seen that. You recommend that, do you?
It is a slow burn, it is very nicely done. And I have watched...
Well, at least it's already out, so I can work my way through it at whatever pace I want.
I would, yeah, and I would. It's also, and this is true of a lot of the Apple ones, beautifully shot. Like, it's one of those where, you know, good cinematography, the average person doesn't notice. Like good soundtracks, you forget you don't notice how effective they're being because they're so effective. Whereas when it gets so good, it's impossible not to notice how beautiful it is. And this would be an example of a show like that.
Yeah, I've got to say, I mean, I've spoken about this before, but Apple TV, it doesn't have quite the volume of stuff that you might want from a streaming service. Like, it's never going to be your only service, but the stuff they produce is so consistently brilliant. Like, even if you don't like it, you can still look at it and go, that's actually a work of art. You know, it's just extremely well-made content. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I think we've exhausted this topic for this week at least, but let us know any thoughts you have. What would you have a robot do? Would you trust it with your dog? Would you let it take your child to school?
Problem would you is, allow it to replace your favourite podcasters?
Well, we've tried that and it didn't really... I think the answer was probably not. There was some love for Miss Jenkins, but far less for...
More about the performance, I feel.
Exactly. We didn't need the AI for that, so... Who knows? But if we have robots taking our kids to school, then we wouldn't get shows like Motherland, which is great. Wasn't expecting to end talking about BBC comedy.
I did also expect you to hit a interstitial there. So do you want to play some sort of WAV?
Yes.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Yes, I did want to play it. Well, also... it was interstitial 2.wav.
I didn't have the confidence to pick an interstitial, but I was going to say 4, but I suspect that's wrong.
It's easy to work out based on how many I've played so far, because I usually start at the first one.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to take this moment not just to thank Ian's brilliant prompting of the interstitials there, but also patrons who support us directly. They're getting extra message, they're getting the live show, they are getting the back catalogue, they're getting all the stuff, and it's really, really good. So if you if you'd like to get one of those those perks, or indeed all of them, go to patreon.com/UK Tech. And if you are one of those wonderful people, you're about to hear this week's third discussion story, all about what happens when quite complex smart home setups go really quite wrong. Got a nice email from Dan B, Dan Bambridge, who said, "Hi gents, enjoyed the chat about broadband this week." Oh, it's a bloody good job, because we talk about broadband all the time. As a lever of tech, but not of paying new tech prices, I finally took the plunge and have been upgrading this year. I've gone from an iPhone 8 to a 14 Pro, an iPad Air, the original, to an iPad M2, 12.9-inch Pro, and from an Xbox One to an Xbox Series X. As well as this, I've upgraded the internet from 200 megabits per second with Virgin to UFiber's 1 gigabit per second. In only a few short months, I think I'm already taking for granted how quick and accessible everything is now, and can't imagine how I coped before. So far, UFiber has been faultless. After signing a two-year contract with Virgin for £55 a month, because I didn't think UFiber would be here when they were saying they would be, 6 months later, a sales rep turned up at the door saying we could now get it. They offered 1 gigabit for £30 a month on a three-year contract with two mesh hubs, and they gave us 2 years free to cover the duration of the Virgin contract. That's pretty amazing, actually. It's a shame we have to continue to pay for a Virgin box that's unplugged and for emergency use only. In terms of speed, it definitely lives up to my needs and expectations, with the same up and down speeds of around 600 on Wi-Fi and 800 plus on wired. For my phone, in Coventry on 5G, I've been getting consistent speeds of over 800 megabits per second down. That's amazing. That's higher than I've ever got on mine. And 75 up on 3. So that supports the conversation we had last week, Ian, that 3, actually, in some cities, is absolutely lightning fast. I'm not a power user of any kind of these speeds. They just keep me happy. So that's pretty good. And he sent a couple of screenshots of his speed and can confirm 811 down on one day and 825 meg
absolutely
down.
Absolutely nuts.
Incredible. Brilliant. Makes me wonder why you bothered taking out a contract with UFiber. You should have just stuck your phone on a roof and
No. I disagree. You know, fiber, important. 5G, not as reliable. But good email. Annoyed me slightly because I still don't have any alternatives to Virgin. But ultimately, I'm happy for my fellow humans and thrilled for listeners of this show that their broadband situation is improving.
Yeah, John in live chat says, if a broadband supplier can give away their service for free for 2 years, why are we paying for broadband at all? Good question. Al says,
I was very annoyed about that, giving away of the broadband as well. I was like, why does this stuff never happen to me?
Al in live chat as well says, I upped BT from 500 meg to 900 meg last week because it was only going to cost £1 more per month. Amazing. I, on the other hand, have just had an email from GigaClear saying that my minimum term is about to come to an end, and so the £49 a month I have been paying will now go to... let me just check, make sure I'm not slandering them awfully. My choice is now to move to £81 a month. So I won't be renewing with GigaClear unless that price comes back down to £49 a month. So goodness only knows what's going to happen in a couple of months when my contract expires. I'm going to call them this week and find out. Because, yeah, I ain't. I am not paying £81 a month for my fibre.
O2 are putting the prices up by 13.4%. Oh, hold on. Will rise by 13.4 RPI plus 3.9%.
I had the same for from EE for me.
They want to be getting themselves in the bin, is my take on that.
I've got three contracts with EE, one for my watch, one for my iPad, one for my phone, and they're all going to go up by that, apparently. So I'll be cancelling at least one of them, probably two of them.
Yeah, cancel the watch, mate.
I think I will cancel the watch. And I think
I was thinking about this the other day and thinking it would be nice to have, but I don't think it's worth paying extra for. Like, put it on my data tariff as an extra device. Come on, stop being mean.
Yeah, I agree. I think the time has come to cancel the two and just use the tethering on the phone. Mm-hmm. It's very convenient, but at this point the cost is just getting ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a waste of money.
Well, what contracts are you going to cancel, people? Let us know, as everyone we've just read out comments from has done. I'll tell you someone else we've heard from this week. His name's Tom Merritt. He does Daily Tech News Show. It's very, very good. Here is what I learnt about from Tom that you can learn about from Tom this week.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, why young folks prefer iPhones. It appears they do, but why? Also, Tim Stevens tells us about getting to drive the world's fastest electric vehicle. Spotify and YouTube Music offer different ways to make a radio station just for you. And the U.S. Copyright Office decides art made by Midjourney doesn't qualify for copyright. Let the AI art wars begin. All that and much more at DailyTechNewsShow.com.
Great conversation about Midjourney. Very much enjoyed
yes.
that on a very sleepy train journey at the end of this week.
Delightful.
Really was. Thanks everybody for listening. I'd love you all to leave us a review if you haven't or haven't recently, because it really helps people discover the show. And
I haven't checked. I keep thinking, forgetting to
I
do
have.
It. I should
we've had
do.
Some,
oh, have
we've,
you?
We've had some nice ones. One person actually said that they discovered us via Daily Tech News Show. In their review, and described us as a gem of a podcast. I'm going off memory, so I can't remember the name of the person. But thank you very much to whoever wrote that.
I've got it here, Nate. It's the title is Best UK Tech Podcast from Jimanka. I think that's how you pronounce it. Discover this gem of a podcast from DTNS. If you're looking for UK focused tech podcast with some great bands out and music, you've come to the right place.
I love that person. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. It's lovely.
I've pressed outro.wav, Ian.
Oh, well, I guess that means it's time for me to wind up the show.